Clock, is that correct, sister?
Sure.
I mean, as far as YouTube's on now? Amen. 449, dwelling in Beulah Land. This was, I remember singing this song as a child in school or in church. And I always loved the chorus because you could shout out praise God. And so I encourage you as well. There's an exclamation point over there behind praise God. Show a little bit of life to it. And then the next line down, you'll see right below it, it says, oh yes. And so put a little life there as well. And we'll get started here. I want you to think about the words. Some of you probably haven't heard it or don't hear it often. But think about the words as we sing them here. And I'm thankful. Beulah Land, or Beulah, means married. Amen. I know we're the bride right now, but there's going to be a time where we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the bridegroom's going to stand up. It's time to get his bride. And I'm looking forward to that day. And so I encourage you, just listen to the words as we sing out here. And if you're willing and able, let's stand. We'll get started here. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Far below the storms of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I with can the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. On the last, viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living on a mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You that we have Your promises, Lord. As we come and we sing this song of Zion, as we think about dwelling in Beulah land, Lord, that there's a day a-coming. A brighter day is coming, Lord, and I pray that You would just help us tonight as we know that our country's in a world of hurt, Lord. Father, sin's taken us further than we ever thought it would take us. Lord, it's going to cost us more than we ever thought we'd pay. And Lord, I pray that You would help us, Father, as we understand that we can't change the tide of America. But Lord, we can't allow You to work through us and use us, Lord, to Your glory. I pray You'd help us tonight. Father, that truly there's a Beulah land coming that we can dwell in forever, Lord. And Father, there should be a peace of heaven in us right now because that's where You abide. And then, Lord, You've promised that You abide in us. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd just be dwelling there tonight. Our minds and our hearts wouldn't drift to other places and other desires. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd meet with us. I know that we're virtual tonight. We're over the Internet. Lord, some are going to get the CD several days from now. But yet, Lord, there's a desire for a work to be done. And Lord, I pray that would be our desire as well. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. And Lord, I already praise You for what You're going to do tonight. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Take your hymn books. Turn over to page number 397. 397. Little as much when God is in it. 397. Amen. 397. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. On the third, are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. You know, I'm thankful we may be little in the sight of our neighborhood, in the sight of our community, in the sight of our state, in the sight of our country. But I'm thankful we're not little when we're doing it for the Lord. And I want to thank everyone for their faithfulness to the church, faithful in attendance. both in person and YouTube, as we've been doing this a while now. I don't want this to necessarily become commonplace. I want it to still be. I've seen the views kind of drop down, and I know that that's even from those that are viewing throughout the week. Just kind of get to the place where we get busy, and we'll get to it later, and then we never really do. But I want to thank you, because what we're doing here isn't for Northside Baptist Church. It is for the Lord, and it's only going to be little if it's for us. But I'm thankful little as much when God is in it. Take your hymn books, turn over to page number 448. Brethren, we have met to worship. 448, brethren, we have met to worship. I know that we're in our homes tonight and broadcasting out and letting others know, but truly, this is worship. We do not have to be in a large amount, in a large group, and I know that there's a time delay in hearing over the YouTube. I've already said it. We might already be past the first verse by the time you get to the first verse, but I'm thankful that we can worship, and this is still a place of worship and still a time of worship. And so I hope that you've came today in that anticipation that we're going to worship today. And so let's stand, if you're willing and able. 448, brethren, we have met to worship. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving, can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister hated him. Will you help with trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. On the last, let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and move us. Serve us with sweet manna all around. Amen. I was choking on my slobber there. Amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight and let's look over at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Sister Sarah was scared to death when I came out of the bedroom and had printed my sermon. And it's only one page. And she said, oh my. And so you pray as we get ready tonight. I honestly don't plan on keeping you long. I know that you don't have a long drive home, but I don't plan on keeping you long. I'd like to get this point across, and then we'll just see what the Lord does with it. Of course, same text that we used this morning in Psalm 33 and verse number 12. If you're willing and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 33 and verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Now this morning I really didn't speak much about Israel, but I'd like to tonight use God's blessing on Israel as an example for us. We know in the book of Jude that God shows us that He's given us these as an example so that we can see. I know that there's many that would say, God's not going to do that. He's a God of love. There's no wrath. He's always going to bless. May I tell you, as much as He's loved Israel and as much as He's called them and He's chosen them to be an inheritance, may I tell you that God's chastised them because of their sin and their turning from Him. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll get started. Our precious Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight, Lord, to truly see Your desire and how much we need You as our God. And Lord, I pray that You would help us, Father, that we would choose to be obedient for the many reasons that we're going to look at tonight. And Father, I pray that Your will would be done. Show us, Father, where we fall short. And Lord, even in the times as we fall short, I'm thankful that Your Word is still true, that forgiveness is still ours if we'll come to You. For Your Word tells us that if we'll confess our sin, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray for our nation tonight. Lord, I pray for America. Lord, I know that there's many that are struggling, Lord, with the sicknesses that are going on, with the anxiety and the stress and the hatred that's taking place. But Lord, I pray, give us peace tonight as only You can. Father, be with the services. Touch each and every one individually where they are. And Lord, let it be to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing. I don't find anyone else in Scripture that's been given an opportunity to have God as their Lord like the nation of Israel. I don't want to preach my opinions. I don't want to preach what I think should be or take place. And so, as I prayed about this, I prayed that the Lord would give me a direction. Let me show you through Scripture how God will bless us as a nation. Now, this morning we had looked and we've seen that if we are one nation under God, there are some things that would change. We would be free from that sin. We'd be free from Satan's snares. We would also be to the place that we would have a fear of God. And boy, how there's no reverence for the things of God. There's no reverence for that there is a God. In fact, many have said that there is no God today. And I'm not just speaking about those that are atheists, but in the way that the child of God or the one that professes to be a child of God lives, they say with their actions much louder than they do with their words that there is no God. And I find as well that if we were one nation under God, we would be seeking for forgiveness. And so that's what we would be doing, and that's what we would have. Those are our characteristics and our traits that we would have if we were one nation under God, if God was our Lord. But tonight I'd like to look, and I'd really like to just say that America needs God as our Lord. I look at this verse and I find here, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now both of those are capital, God and Lord. Of course, we know that God, being the all-powerful, the almighty, the Creator. And then we find Lord, that we would place Him in a position to where He's in control. And what we need today is the Almighty God to be the one in control of our country. And there's a reason for that. Why is it so important to have God as Lord for us? And God's hand of blessing is crucial for real success. There's many today that are in that direction, and they want to have physical success or financial success or success in many different areas of life. But I'm telling you, real success only comes from God. And so I'm going to get most of our sermon tonight out of the book of Joshua. I would like to look at the children of Israel as they're going into the promised land and in the promised land and even after Joshua dies and how God uses them. But I'm telling you, that the success that Israel saw as God was blessing them and moving them into the land was only because He was their God and He was placed as Lord. And so tonight, and the Lord had helped me, I'd like us to look at this success as we start and take your Bibles. You don't have to hold it in the book of Psalms, but I would like you to turn over to Joshua chapter 1. And I'd like to give you just as an introduction what God had told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And we'll be through the book of Joshua all in throughout my points and subpoints here and get started. But in Joshua chapter number 1, if you would, look at verse number 5. It says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the day, all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land." Boy, I had looked up the song the other day, "This land is my land, this land is your land." Or "This land is your land, this land is my land." I remember that as a child, I had heard it. And it's always kind of stuck in my head, and I didn't realize that the man that wrote it was communist and that it is socialist ideas. But truthfully, God has placed us here. And America has been used at one time as one of the greatest mission hubs ever. I know England had its time, but now the light's off in England and we send missionaries to England. And we've sent all these missionaries out and we're spreading the light throughout all the world, but yet I find that now there's churches in other countries that are sending missionaries back to America. What's happened? Well, the land that God's given us and blessed us with, we've no longer had Him as our God, or no longer placed Him as Lord. And He said that you're going to divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God," notice that, He's placed Him, God, as His Lord. "Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so, Israel is that perfect example that we have of why we need God as our Lord. Notice, first of all, we need God as our Lord for our friends and family. We need God as our Lord for our friends and family. Over in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 7, I'm reminded of a time with Achan. And I know I had brought up Achan a couple weeks ago, maybe it was even last week, I don't know. But Achan has always been one of those that has intrigued me to think that God had just brought such victory in such a battle as Jericho when they really didn't have to fight anything. They didn't even know how they were going to get in. And God said, "Look, I'm just going to have you march around it. And then on the last day, you're going to blow the trumpet and the walls are going to fall." And they did exactly as God said. Not just the children of Israel marching around it, but the walls fell exactly the way God said they would. And then God said that you're not going to keep anything that's there. Everything's going to be utterly destroyed. And there's one man that decided that a Babylonian garment and some silver looked like it was worth keeping. What happened? Well, God was no longer his Lord. He became his Lord. And he took of that garment. He took of that silver. In chapter number 7, in verse number 1, just to get you the setting here, and then we're going to skip down a few verses, but in verse number 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, I bring us to that because I want us to understand that we need God as our Lord for the safety of our friends and family. I don't know about y'all, but I want God's hand of protection upon my family. I would like God's hand of protection upon our church. I would like it upon the friends that I have. I would hate to think that you would be looped in with me because of some sin that I'd committed, that God said I'm going to bring chastisement upon that nation because of you. And so I find in verses 4 and 5, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I wonder how many times we've discouraged our own family and our own friends because of our sin that's in our life. Go on down into verse number 24 through 26. In verse number 24 through 26, we find here that there's 36 men that just died. And then we're going to find some more. Those were his friends. I wonder how many of them he knew. I don't know that Achan wasn't one of them that went out to the battle. And I don't know that he wasn't one of the 3,000. And he would have saw as they had ran and they retreated from Ai, a small little area. In fact, when they had went and surveyed it, they said that it's a small area. There's not even really a need to send everyone. So they only sent 3,000 people. I don't know that Ai was, or that Achan wasn't one of those 3,000 that went against Ai. But I could tell you that there's a great chance that Achan would have known someone in the family of those 36 men that died. Maybe would have seen the mourning, the wife as she was mourning, the children as they were mourning the loss of their husband and their father. And he would have had to come back to the place that it was him. And so, we need that for the safety of our friends. But then I find as well in verse number 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And so I look and I find that there's a need for us today because our sin hurts more than just us. I want it for the safety of my children. I want it for the safety of my home. I want it for the safety of my friends. What's happened to America? We're self-centered. What happened to Achan? When Achan was looking and Achan was coming to that place, he saw that Babylonian garment. He saw that wedge of gold. He saw that little bit of silver. And he said, it looks good for self. And he said, I don't need God to be my Lord. I can make this decision. He knew the command. He knew the direction he was to go. And so I'd ask us tonight, how bad do we need God as our Lord in America? We need Him for our friends and our family, for their safety. But I find as well, if we're going to think about our friends and our family, we need it for their stand. For their stand. In Joshua chapter number 24, if you would, turn on over there. Some of the most abused verses right here. Aren't you tired of double-minded and two-faced? And aren't you tired of hypocrisy? Aren't you tired of, I don't have to do that? I think about all these that are making decisions for us. I remember when the Affordable Care Act was coming out and they were making all of the plans and the preparations, which most of the politicians never even read all of it anyway. And I remember when it came out, and yet it wasn't the same health care plan that they had. And they had a better one. But it was so good for all of us. And they made us take it. And they corrupted, and they've made it to where health care is just crazy. I look and I think about all those that make the laws for taxes but know the loopholes so that they don't have to pay. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it time that someone would step up for an example for their friends and their family and be that example so that others could have a stand behind them and a stand with them? Tonight, before the service, I was picking out what songs we were going to sing. And Jeremiah was wanting to come up here with me, and he often brings up his chair, and he was up here singing with me as we were done. I had already picked out what songs we were singing, so we were just singing. Because I want to be an example to him. I want to give him a place that he can stand right beside me. I want to let him know that the rock that I stand on is large enough and secure enough that it's going to hold him too. And our friends and our family need that example in us today. And so I find in Joshua 24, in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, America needs God as our Lord for our friends and our family. We need to give them that safety that we have in obedience to the Lord and God's blessing. I don't want to be the reason that they're accursed and they suffer my punishment with me. As well, I want that stand that they have, that I can know that they're learning the truth. I have many times in my four-year-old, and I'm not trying to preach about Jeremiah tonight, but in my four-year-old, it's great to watch him learn. He's seen men with long hair. He's seen women with the wrong kind of apparel on, and he'll make comments to us. That was a girl boy, or that's a boy that looks like a girl, or that's a woman that doesn't dress right. And he'll let us know, and you say, "Preacher, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't be teaching him." No, this is the perfect time to teach him. Right now, when he needs to learn that what right looks like and where to stand in truth. And so I find America needs God as our Lord for our friends and family. But then I find as well that we need Him for our foes. We need Him for our foes. And to distinguish our foes, take your Bibles, look back over at Joshua chapter number 9. May I tell you that without the Lord, we don't really know who our enemies are? I'd like to remind you as you get over to Joshua 9 that Satan came as a serpent because the serpent was beautiful and subtle. And Satan, in his subtlety, had used that serpent to disguise himself as a meek and peaceful and unharming creature. May I tell you, there's many times our enemies will come the very same way. And they will trick us, and they will disguise themselves in such a way. And so I find that we need God as our Lord for our foes, to distinguish our foes. In Joshua chapter number 9 and verse number 12, we find here where the Gibeonites had came. I'm sorry, in chapter 9 we find where the Gibeonites had came, and they had came in such a way that they had tricked them. In fact, they had taken old... Well, look at verse number 4. They did work willily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clotted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And this is how they came to the children of Israel. They came up as if they had been from a far country outside of the land of Israel, the promised land, the land of Canaan. And God had already told Israel, do not make a league with anyone in this country. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to chase them out. You're going to destroy them, utterly destroy them, and you're going to inhabit this land, and all of these inhabitants are going to be removed. May I tell you that there's sometimes that Satan will deceive us. And as a nation, we've listened to many others that have deceived us. As American citizens, we listen to many influences that deceive us. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. It tells here the story of the Gibeonites. In verse number 12 of Joshua 9, he says, this is our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. That's how it was when they left. Verse 13, and these bottles of wine which were filled were new. And behold, now they are rent, and our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. What happened? They knew how to live by now. They knew what they needed. They had already seen some victories. They had already had some successes. And so they didn't need the Lord's distinguishing. Verse number 15, and Joshua made peace with them, made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. They were deceived. They were deceived. How many times does America get deceived? How many times do we get deceived? Because God's not in the position to make the choices and decisions for us and to bring to light who our foes really are. But then I find that not only do we need Him for our foes to distinguish who our foes are, I find that we need Him for our foes to destroy our foes. Amen. I'm thankful vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm thankful that it's not dependent on me to win the battle. You know how many times the children of Israel showed up to battle and God had already taken care of it? How many times He had discomfited the Philistines? How many times He had already removed the enemy? I think about the Assyrians. I think about all the times that God stepped up. In chapter number 10, we find in Joshua that there was 5 Amorite kings. The king of Jerusalem had all made a league with each other and they were going to go against Gibeon because the Gibeonites had made a league with Israel. And they said, fine, we're going to destroy you. And they went after them. And the Gibeonites sent word to Joshua and said, you need to come up and help us because you'd already made a league that you would. And so they were coming up to help him, and this is what the Lord said, if you would, in Joshua chapter 10, look at verse number 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now may I tell you that God said, I got it all under control. Look at verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them at Azekah and unto Madak. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And so I find that we need God to fight our battles for us today. I've told you before, there's many times that we get wrapped up in the wrong battles. There's many times that we come to that place where we're not really fighting the right battles. But if we'll allow God to be our Lord, He's going to fight our battles for us. We're not going to have to get worried about it. We're not going to have to... May I tell you that there's not a single thing that you're going to do about the protesting except let the Lord have it. There's not a single thing you're going to do about the fear that you have in your life except let the Lord have it. There's not a single thing that you're going to do about this sickness called COVID-19 because then COVID-20 is going to come right around the corner. There's nothing that you're going to do about it but let the Lord fight the battles. And you know why we need God as our Lord? Because He needs to destroy our enemies tonight. There's many enemies that we have as children of God. Don't be surprised. Jesus had told us that they hated Him. They're going to hate us. But it's not my place to even distinguish who they are. God's got to reveal it. To destroy it, God's got to do it. And so I find as well that America needs God as our Lord for our future. For our future. I don't want a future of disappointment. Look, if you would, in Judges chapter number 2. In Judges chapter number 2, we find the end of Joshua's life. We find the account that's given in Judges chapter number 2. And look at verse number 1. In Judges 2 and verse number 1. Judges chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land," which they did. "Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? And wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept." Say, preacher, why in the world would they be so disappointed with this? I mean, really, most of the inhabitants were driven out, and most of them were victorious, and most of them... No, hold on a second. Those gods that they didn't tear down the altars for, you know, it wasn't the children of Israel that grew up under Joshua's time of dividing the land. It was their children that was snared with it. Oh, listen to me. I know last week I just preached about passing down our heritage. But may I tell you that there's a future still. You know what I find? That if some of these old saints that we have on the wall would come back and see where we are today, they'd be embarrassed. I'm not saying that we need to go back to the days of no electricity and no devices and no this and no that, and we need to get us a Puritan hat and Puritan shoes with big buckles. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I have found is that progress usually means degress spiritually. And I found that the stand that we have today is not as close to the Lord as there was 50 years ago. And I wonder how many, if they were able to look back, I wonder how many altars hadn't been torn down. We saw that somehow, somewhere, the gods on the other side of the floods came forth. They came through the flood. How'd they make it? Someone had to carry them. And I wonder about this disappointment. It's okay. I remember Hezekiah as he was relieved that God wasn't going to chastise him until his children came up. And he was relieved with it. And yet Manasseh, his son, at 12 years old, took the throne, and it's recorded that he did evil in the sight of the Lord at 12. I don't want our future to be a disappointment because of where we are today. America needs God as their Lord. We need God as our Lord. And so I find as well that with disappointment leads to devastation. Look, if you would, back over at Judges chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. But what happened? Look down at verse 10. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. Which gods? Those gods that were a snare unto them. He said that they followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers, and spoiled them, and sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Say, preacher, what's going to make it be like that? Well, I'm reminded about Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, the only one that can lead us from devastation, the only one that can lead us from destruction, is the Lord. And He'll only lead us when He's our God. When we'll place the Almighty as the one that we follow as Lord, and allow Him to direct our paths. Otherwise, we're going to go from disappointment. I'm telling you, if Charles Spurgeon was to come back, I know he can't, and I get that, but just bear with me a minute. But if he was to come back, John Bunyan, he was in prison because he wasn't going to receive a license to preach. He was going to preach by the liberty that God gave him. William Carey, Fanny Crosby, Amy Carmichael, if they were to come back and see where we are today, they would be ashamed. They would be disappointed. May I tell you, the Lord allows us to tarry another 50 more years. And I'm here on this earth, and I know some of you would say, preacher, you'd be knocking to 100. I'd be close. I'd be 97. But if the Lord would allow me to see that, I could look back and I'd go, boy, what's happened? What a disappointment. I think about the children of Israel when they came back out of captivity in the book of Ezra, and they'd rebuilt the temple. And it was not as big, and it was not as beautiful as what Solomon had built. And there was those that had cried out because they were able to build up a temple. And then there were those that had cried because it wasn't what it used to be. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a disappointment that comes. But if the disappointment leaves, it's only going to go to devastation if God is not our Lord. And I wonder what happens if we keep going down the same path as America. Wonder who's going to take us captive. I know you'd say, preacher, we live in 2020 and there's not going to be that today. Oh, my dear friend, I'm afraid we're already taken captive by our own devices. And God's turned us over to a reprobate mind. Because there was no king in Israel. You know what that means? God was no longer their Lord. America, we need God as our Lord. And we need to not do what's right in our eyes, because it's leading us to devastation. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for the truth that we have. Lord, the cry that needs to go out. Lord, that we would mourn for our country. Lord, that we'd mourn for our churches. Lord, that we'd mourn for our families. Oh, Father, help us today that we would see a need ever so real, ever so true. Father, I pray Your will be done. Lord, take this message, Lord. Put it in our hearts. Lord, America needs You as our Lord. Our friends and family need us to have You as our Lord. Our enemies, the only way we're ever going to defeat them, Lord, the only way we're ever going to have a future that's not a future filled with disappointment and discouragement and devastation is if we'll put You on Your rightful place as our God and our Lord. Father, help us tonight to see the seriousness, see the urgency. And Lord, just go ahead and set You where You need to be. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to thank everyone for attending tonight. I encourage you. We'll be in person on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And we'll be also live on YouTube at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Tune in to us if you can't make it. And come in person if you can. Amen. And I appreciate everyone and their faithfulness. Appreciate everyone and their obedience. I know that the preacher seems kind of crazy in putting some of these out, but I just want to protect everyone. I think about my chickens there at the house, and if I got a sick chicken, I'm going to isolate it, and I'm not going to bring someone else's chickens in if I don't know that they're healthy. And so I'm trying to protect you. Let me do what the Lord's put on my heart and put Him as Lord, and I won't.